Chapter 4, Acts chapter 1, we'll start in Acts chapter 1. You know that song, that's the day we live in. We need to hide, amen. We need to hide in Him, amen. Run to the rock, amen. Run to the rock. There's honey in the rock, my brother, amen. Amen. There's water in that rock, amen. That's Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 1, you know, we live in those... In the last days, perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of themselves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers. Amen?
Amen.
And they'll be without natural affection. They'll be truce breakers. That's what we're living in right now. Amen? Wouldn't you say that? Wouldn't you say these are turbulent times? These are perilous times? Amen. That's where we're at. The early church was born in times like these. Did you know that? The modern day church thinks that it was born in the lap of luxury in the lily of the valley. But it wasn't. The church was born in turmoil. Began with a crucifixion. Got it supercharged with a resurrection.
Yeah.
Was filled with power by the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Amen. The day that we live in, Christianity is weak-kneed and limp-wristed. And they don't have much power. They don't have much power. They got a lot of praise, but it's usually praising themselves more than Him. But I've got news for you. We are right where the book of Acts began. Now, before I read this, you got to remember, the people that we're about to read about, they just followed a man for a little bit over 3.5 years. And they hung on every word that he said. And they loved him. They loved him greatly. They loved him unto death. They thought that he had come to usher in the kingdom of God on earth.
Right.
And Israel would be the capital of the world. They thought that because he could heal the sick, give sight to the blind, hear unto the deaf, and raise the dead, that he would take over.
Yeah.
But then they saw him beaten. And hung on a cross and despised and rejected of men. But thank God on that third day they found him gone. He wasn't in the tomb.
Amen.
And then he began to appear to them. And he began to teach them. And for 50 days he walked with them and talked with them. And he appeared to the disciples. And just as he was about to go back up into glory, he said this in Acts chapter 1 verse 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Amen. I've been teaching on the Holy Ghost for the past few weeks, and I guess we'd call this the coming of the Holy Ghost, the coming of the Holy Ghost. And if you'll go back and look at Acts chapter 1 and verse 6, it said, when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And that's where we are now. Is he coming now? Is he coming to restore his kingdom, you know? And then in verse 7, and he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father had put in his own power. Now, we want to see Jesus come. We think it'd be a great time right now for him to come. But that's not in us. That's in him. We don't know that. We know he's coming, but we don't know when. And so he said this to them as well as he says it to us now. But ye, don't worry about this coming of the kingdom, but ye, this is what you need to do. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Now, you know what? That word power. Power, that's more than what we consider power when we think about power, you know. He's talking about something like dynamite.
Right.
He said, man, you're going to get some dynamite. Something's going to blow your world up. Something's going to blow this world up. And it's the power of God when the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Then you'll no longer be hiding out afraid they're going to crucify you. Then you'll no longer be timid. You'll speak up.
Yes.
Because the power of God will be in you and on you. And that was the last message that he preached to them. And then he ascended up into heaven. And then so they're trying to replace Judas, and it never really happened. They did name a name, but it never really, nothing you'll never hear mentioned again. And then we come to chapter 2. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord in one place. Now, a lot of Pentecostal people, charismatic people, and not really knowing what they ought to know, but Bible preaching type preachers, they think this was this was first day of Pentecost. It was not. Pentecost was a yearly celebration with the Jews, and they all met together to celebrate God and to celebrate His Spirit. And this was not the first time they had come together for this. This had been happening since Moses. So I want you to know this. The day of Pentecost was not a one-time event. And by the way, the Jews still celebrate it. Yeah. The Orthodox Jews, they still celebrate it. So when you relate the speaking in tongues with Pentecost and the coming of the Holy Ghost, you really are not showing that you know the history of Pentecost. Mm-hmm. All right? You can't attach him to a day, the day of Pentecost. But when that day was fully come, and that's why they were all together once again, they come to celebrate Pentecost. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. Now, that's the same way God revealed himself to Moses. You remember Moses said, I want to see God. And he never did really get to see the face of God. He saw him in the wind and still small voice and the earthquake and the rocks falling. And now God manifests himself in this room. And when he shows up, when the Holy Spirit comes, it's so powerful that it sounds like a mighty rushing wind. And then in verse 3, there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And I believe that represents the same fire that Elijah called down from heaven. The same fire that Elijah called down from heaven. The power of God manifesting itself on them, Now, it's awful strange to me that the people that want me to speak in unknown tongues don't want me to have that cloven fire over my head. Is that not strange? Where did the fire go? I'd rather have the fire of God than have an unintelligible language, wouldn't you? Amen. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. It filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Now that's the first time that's mentioned. There's a first time mentioned principle in Bible study. And this is the first time that it's mentioned. And so therefore it's very important that we understand why he's even mentioning it the first time. And so look at it again. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Mankind had never, other than certain chosen few, the Holy Ghost would come on them and be in them for a specific work, and then he would leave them. He did not come as the convictor or the converter or the comforter. He came to do a work in them, and he would leave. Now, Jesus has already breathed on them. I taught that to you last week. He breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. And so the Holy Spirit that day came into them and believed. But the Holy Ghost has now come upon them, and now they're being filled with the Holy Ghost, and they begin to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now, we've got to discuss why were they speaking other tongues, or if you got a King James Bible, it's funny, nobody wants to use the King James Bible words until they come to this. But go to the front of your Bible, and it says it was translated out of other tongues. It doesn't say languages. And you know why? Because that was proper English. It was translated out of other tongues. And they began to speak other tongues, languages. Why? Because it tells you right there. There were Jews there out of every nation under heaven. These people were from all parts of the world, and they all spake other tongues, other languages. Now, all of them spoke Hebrew. All of them spoke Hebrew. All Hebrews, real Hebrews, still speak Hebrew. Israel, when it reformed, reestablished the Hebrew language. And in their schools, all the children have to learn Hebrew. And they read Hebrew books. And they write in Hebrew. Though they have a second language, does anybody know what that is? English. Everybody in the world's got that for a second language, because that's the business language of the world. Where it used to be Greek was the business language. That's why the Bible was written in Greek, so that anybody in the world could read it. And that was the business language. You went anywhere in the world, you used Greek to do business. And now English is the business language. So the English Bible, and boy, we worry about that going overseas, taking Bibles. But you know what? Most of those people can read English. They're taught English as a second language. And so here they are. They're from all over the world. And in a minute, we'll see how many nations they represent. And then verse 6, now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together, and they were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language.
Amen.
Not unknown language, as the charismatic will tell you. Not unknown tongues, as the Pentecostal will tell you, but they heard them in their own language.
Amen.
So if there's a miracle here, is it in the speaking or is it in the hearing? Peter stood up to preach. He didn't preach in 9 different languages. He preached in Hebrew. And they heard it in their own language. So if we're going to use that as a sign of the coming of the Holy Ghost and filling of the Holy Ghost, we need to put the sign as hearing, not speaking. Amen. Amen. And they were all amazed, and they marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? Galileans were not educated people. They were fishermen and farmers. And they were amazed that these fishermen and farmers could stand up and speak 9 different languages, which they really didn't. It was in the hearing, not the speaking, but they didn't understand that. And how hear we every man in our own tongue, see that word's interchangeable, language, tongue, wherein we were born. The Perinthians, the Medes, the Elamites, the dwellers in the Mesopotamia and in Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia and Phrygia and Pamphylia and Egypt and in parts of Libya about Cyrene and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. So, and then in verse, don't want to get ahead of myself, but what they're saying is, we're from all these different countries, we hear these men speak, Peter's preaching, we hear them in our own language, our own tongue. For a person to say that speaking in unknown tongues is a sign that you are filled with the Holy Ghost, I'm going to say it, and it's going to make some people mad, and the way you were raised and where you went to church, it's biblical ignorance.
Yes, sir.
It's biblical ignorance. And I'm not being mean to you. You can't help it. Look, you can fix ignorance.
That's
you can
right.
learn something.
Yes,
amen.
Sir.
Now, if you're
right.
stupid, ain't nothing we can do for you. But if you're ignorant, we can help you. Amen. We can help you. And I don't blame people that were raised that way. And that's what they, well, that's what my mama did, and I heard her speak in tongues. Well, now listen to me. I'm not saying these people are not well-meaning people. I'm not saying they're ignorant people. I'm not saying they're stupid people. I'm saying that they have been misled and mistaught to seek something that is not there. And what is not there is unknown tongues or languages. Gibberish. Some of them call it a heavenly language. Now, we've got people that come here that have done it. Some probably still do it. And look, I'm not trying to hurt them or put them down. I just want to know what the Bible says. And I've studied it and I've tried to experience it. When I first got saved, I wanted all of God I could get.
Right.
And I'd get in my room every day and I'd read my Bible and I'd pray. And I got listening to Jimmy Swagger, and my church was dying. And the church we were in, it was dying. And on Sunday night, you know, we'd go in there, and finally we started going to other churches, independent churches and stuff, to try to get fired up. And sometimes I'd have to come home and listen to Jimmy Swagger to get fired up. Amen. Don't sit there and act like you ain't never listened to him. The old boy could sing. Oh my goodness, he could sing. And they still do sing.
Yeah.
And he wasn't heavy on it, but every once in a while he'd go, Hamashaka na naka. I said, what in the world's that? What happened to him? Did he have a stroke or something? What's going on there? Your tongue got tied. I've done it myself, you know. I've been speaking in tongues a long time. And, so I began to listen to him and listen to his tapes about being filled. They call it baptized in the Holy Ghost. We'll see that later. And then John R. Rice, I started going to independent Baptist churches, and they'd say, if you speak in tongues, you're going to hell, you know. Are you full of the devil, you know. So I started reading John R. Rice, and John R. Rice, one of the greatest fundamental Baptist preachers ever lived. And I still got his book in there, if you want it, The Power of Pentecost. And it talks about speaking in tongues, being filled with the Holy Ghost, baptism of the Holy Ghost. And, of course, we know it's what Jesus said, so you can be a witness. And so I read his, and I listened to Swagger, and I listened to some other independent, and I listened to Swagger. Finally, I just went home one day, and I laid my Bible down, and I got down there beside it, and I said, Lord, I want the power of God. I'm preaching down there at the Army Reserve this week, and God, I don't want to be a powerless preacher. I need some help. These guys are going to hell, and half of them don't even go to church. They don't even know what I'm talking about, and I need some help. Lord, you say if I'd asked me, if I'd asked for it, you'd fill me with your Holy Ghost. And Jimmy Swaggart says I have to speak in tongues. And over there at First Assembly, they say the way I do that is I just let go and start talking like a baby and you'll take over. So I started talking like a baby. I'm honest, I did. And then the Holy Ghost said, you don't do that. The Holy Spirit convicted me. And I said, well, John R. Rice said, all I got to do is claim it. Believe it. Ask for it. Get up and walk in the Spirit. Claim it, just like you do salvation. So I did. And I went down there, and 10 men got saved that day. And I said, thank you, Jesus. I didn't see any lightning. I didn't feel anything run up and down my spine. Just by faith, I got up and said, thank you for filling me with your Holy Ghost. And I do that every time now before I preach. Amen. Now, let's see what the real evidence is of being filled with the Holy Ghost. Look at verse 14. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words, for these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And this is what Joel said. And it shall come to pass in the last day, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and notable day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves know. And then he preaches the story of Jesus. Peter said, look here, these guys ain't drunk. This is the beginning of the end. This is what Joel the prophet prophesied. And look here, half of Joel, if you go back and read Joel chapter 2, I think it's verse 20, I can't remember off the top of my head, but you go back and read it, that verse is divided in two. The one is where Jesus came and did the miracles, and then the second part is the tribulation period. Because we've not seen, they saw signs and wonders, but we've not seen signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. We've not seen the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and noble day of the Lord. We've not seen that. But we have seen this. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And Peter said, that's what's happening here. The end of the end is beginning. Amen?
Amen.
And God is showing himself. God's manifesting himself in signs and wonders. Now, as you go through the book of Acts, you'll see signs and wonders, signs and wonders, signs and wonders through the book of Acts. After the book of Acts, you don't hardly hear anything else about that. Now, why is that? Well, the signs and wonders was for the Jew, not the Gentile. The Jew seeketh a sign. Gentiles live by knowledge. They don't live by signs. And so we, by faith, from what we know about the Lord Jesus Christ, we're saved by faith, by what we know, not by signs. I went to this lady's bedside one time at the hospital, and she had had a heart attack, and some of her kids, grandkids, rode my church bus. And I walked in there, and she was laying there asleep. I was a young preacher. I might have been probably 30 at the most. I'm just ignorant, you know. But I called her name, and I said, how you doing? She said, I'm doing pretty good. And I said, what happened to you? She said, I had a heart attack, and I almost died, and was told the story, you know. And so I asked her, I said, well, what if you had died? Would you have went to heaven? She said, oh, yeah, preacher, I'd went to heaven. I said, how do you know? She said, because I saw Jesus and the 12 apostles stood at the foot of my bed last night, and he told me I'd go to heaven. I said, that ain't it. Oh, yeah, I saw Jesus and the 12 apostles. And I started to ask her, was Judas there? But I didn't want to be a smart aleck. And I said, ma'am, that could have been that medicine they had given you. That's pretty strong stuff. Some people see spiders, some snakes, some other people. I said, you know how I know I'm going to heaven? She said, how? I said, because the Bible says so. And of course she didn't want to talk about that. She said, I know what I know. I know what I saw. I said, ma'am, that's not going to get you to heaven. You must be born again. I don't care what you say. I know what I saw. And I left her. But see, we don't go by signs and wonders, but the Jew seeketh a sign. He already had the right God. He already had the right Bible. He already had the right faith. He had to know that Jesus was the Savior. And the only way to do that for him, because no other book had been written, the only way to do that for him was by signs and wonders, proving that God was in it. Amen. Nowadays, if people told me, said, I died and I rose again, I don't believe it. I believe they might have been gone, but it wasn't dead. Amen?
Amen.
Well, my heart stopped beating. Well, that don't make you dead. That's right. Well, they pronounced me dead. Well, that don't make you dead either. As long as your spirit's still in your body, you're alive.
Right.
Amen. You remember Jesus gave up the ghost before he died. I believe his body was probably dead before that, as bad a beating as he had. So I'm not looking for signs and wonders. So Peter stands up and he preaches out of Joel chapter 2, and he tells those Jews from 9 different nations, this is what Joel said was going to happen, and now it has happened to prove that Jesus is the Savior, and you crucified him, and now he's risen from the dead, and that's what we're talking about today, by the power of the Holy Ghost. Now look at chapter 2, verse 31. I'm kind of skipping around to save time. Chapter 2, verse 31. And he, seeing this, before spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. Y'all with me?
Yes, sir.
This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this which ye now see and hear. And then he talks about David. And then skip down to verse 37. He's talking about the Holy Ghost is preaching, not him, okay? And then chapter 2, verse 37. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Now, it never bothered them before.
Right, yeah.
Y'all know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They talked about Jesus. They preached about Jesus. It never convicted anybody before. What's different? They've been filled with the Holy Ghost. Now they're preaching in the power of God, not the power of the flesh.
Amen.
There's a lot of fleshly preaching going on. Amen. Amen. We need the power of the Holy Ghost on us. Amen. And by the way, same works with singing, all right? Don't the same thing work with singing? If the Holy Ghost anoints it, it'll do something. If he don't, it's tinkling cymbal. Amen. Amen. And there's a lot of that going on too. And they said, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, wait a minute. Whoa. You mean I ain't got to beg for it? You mean I don't have to go to a class to learn how to get him? They give classes on that.
Right.
Amen. They give classes. These Pentecostal churches give you classes on how to receive the Holy Ghost, how to speak in tongues. if it's a gift, why you gotta go to class and learn how to get it? Just say, give it to me, Lord. Lay it on me. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Verse 39. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Now, he's not just talking about salvation. He's talking about the gift of the Holy Spirit, too. So, if God saved you, he gives you the Holy Spirit.
Oh, yes.
And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Boy, that's about where we are. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Now you're talking about revival.
Amen.
120 go out to preach, and 3,000 that get added to the church in one day. Woo! Amen. Just think if we could just get 12 to go out. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul. Everybody around them got afraid of them. That's a good sign you feel full of the Holy Spirit, ain't it?
Yeah, listen.
People, yeah, man. You walk in the room, they scatter like when you turn the light on with cockroaches. They just scatter when you turn the light on. They just go every which way. Uh-oh, there it comes. Don't want her. Let's go. And many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. Did you see that?
Yeah.
By the apostles. And all they that believed were together, having all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple. They went to church every day. Every day.
Amen.
Can you imagine what Baptists would say if they had to go to church every day?
Amen.
Hard enough getting me here on Sunday night, much less every day. Amen. But, hey, I've been to church every day. Some of y'all ought to find you a good camp meeting one time and go every morning, every night for a whole week. Amen. It'll fire you up. And they continuing daily with one accord in temple, breaking of bread from house to house, that they eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. Now, that don't mean everybody loved them, but it meant that people looked at them as something different, not something to hate. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Now, the Holy Ghost filling will result in Holy Ghost preaching or witnessing, which will result in Holy Ghost conviction, which will result in Holy Ghost salvation,
yes,
which will be followed by Holy Ghost filling, which will be followed by Holy Ghost love and affection for the brethren,
yes,
which will follow love for the local church, the local assembly, and all that's done by the Holy Ghost, every bit of it. It's more than just speaking in tongues, okay? And God bless you. If you're looking for something to make you feel better, speaking in tongues is not going to satisfy you.
Right.
It's not going to do it. Because you know what? After a while, even you have to admit to yourself some things. I'm just making this up. I'd rather see people get saved. I'd rather see people be added to the church. I'd rather see people live in the love of Christ and go from house to house loving one another and witnessing to people, wouldn't you? That's the results of Holy Ghost preaching, the Holy Ghost filling, the Holy Ghost witnessing. That's the results of it. And then turn to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. Now, I'm not beating anybody up that speaks in tongues. I've known a lot of them. We used to have a guy come down here and sit on the front, not here, on the other place. He'd sit on the front pew and speak in tongues. Most people didn't know it. I was the only one that knew it. You knew it. Well, his wife got mad at him, and she tried to run him off. And so I went to see him. And I said, "Ma'am, why are you trying to run him off?" She said, "He's speaking in tongues. He's embarrassing me. We're in a Baptist church, and he's speaking in tongues. I tell him not to speak in tongues, and I quit sitting with him because he did. He won't quit." She said, "You need to know that." I said, "I already knew that. He sits on the front row. How would I not know that?" And he looked at me with tears in his eyes. He said, "Preacher, I'm not trying to hurt anybody." He said, "I was raised this way, and when you get to preaching or the singing gets good," said, "the Spirit moves on me, and I can't help it. This is the way I express myself." I said, "Well, you ain't cussing, are you?" He said, "No, I ain't cussing." I said, "Well, then you're doing all right." He said, "I keep it to myself because I know y'all Baptists and y'all don't believe this." I said, "You're right, we don't." And his wife said, "But he embarrasses me." I said, "Let me tell you something. This man's living for God. He quit drinking. He quit drugs. He comes home every night. He loves you. He works a job and pays the bills." I said, "Why in the world would you want to ostracize a man for practicing something he's been doing all his life? It just comes naturally. It's a habit. It's not really a gift. It's just a habit that he's made of himself. Let the man alone. Nobody else knows it past a pew or two behind him." I said, "As long as he don't disturb the church and try to teach everybody to do this, or they're not filled with the Holy Ghost, I ain't bothering him."
Amen.
And she left him. Listen, it all comes down to this. What's the most important thing? Is it important that because you came from a Pentecostal background or a charismatic background — charismatic means that you believe in the so-called gifts of the Spirit, and speaking in unknown tongues would be one of those. And you may be a Baptist or a Lutheran, or even Catholics do it now, Mormons do it, and they think it's a gift from God. Do you seek the filling of the Holy Ghost in order to... See, that's... I'm not going to read it now, I'm going to read it next week. But the only one you're talking to is you.
Right.
So who are you edifying? If it's a gift for the edifying of the church, why is nobody getting edified but you from it? And I didn't teach him all that. He wasn't ready to hear all that, that man that did it. Or would you rather be filled with the Holy Ghost and be a powerful witness for Christ and see people get saved and see people get convicted by the Holy Ghost which lives in you? I just don't understand it. I don't understand it. Chapter 4, verse 8. "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole."
Yes.
Luke verse 13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus.
Yes,
no unknown tongue there. Power of God was there.
Amen.
So much that a man was healed.
Yeah.
Skip down to verse 31. Chapter 4, verse 31. You ought to read the book of Acts is a wonderful book. A lot of people say, well, I don't read the Bible, it's boring. They ain't never read the book of Acts. Look at verse 31 and through 33, if you will. And when they had prayed, here it is now, here it is. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. But wait a minute. Wait a minute. It's happened again. The Holy Ghost come down into the house. The place is shaken. They were all filled, but wait a minute. And they spake the word of God with boldness.
Yes,
verse 33 says that. That was 31. Verse 33. Well, let's read 32 and then 33. And the multitude of them that believed were one heart and one soul. Here we are, just like in chapter 2. They were one heart and one soul. Neither said any of them aught of the things which he possessed was his own. But they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. That's the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's the power of the Holy Ghost. That's the presence of the Holy Ghost. That's the filling of the Spirit in order to make us powerful witnesses. Not meaning that we're more educated or more intelligent than anybody else. They said they were ignorant and unlearned men. But the power of God resting upon us will make the world and lost people stop and take notice and say, wow, where did that come from? I've done that many a time with Billy Burgess. Wow, where'd that come from? That's the reason for the gift of the Holy Ghost. He's not here to give you... You can put your finger in a light socket and get that. You ain't never done it, try it. I'll give you a paper clip. We'll watch you. We might have a revival. Amen. I've seen them do all kind of things, blaming it on the Holy Ghost. He wasn't within a mile of that junk. Amen.
Amen.
Because anything that the Holy Spirit fills you for is this, that you be great witnesses with great power and get great results.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
That's it.
We don't seek his filling so that we will have some kind of out-of-body experience or something. Or even a religious experience. And did you know that would you look at it, they didn't seek him. He just showed up. Well, wouldn't it be good in here one Sunday morning if the Holy Ghost just show up? Hey man, we just show up. It scares some of our members to death. We'd have a funeral. We'd have to have a funeral on Monday after having a service on Sunday. Let me tell you something. He just shows up. I've been in services where the Holy Ghost just showed up. Nobody begged for him. They just said, Lord, bless this place. Bless these people. And the preaching got started and the singing got started. And all of a sudden, you didn't see it, but you could feel that mighty presence like a rushing wind come into it. And I've had to fall down my face and just cry. Just lay down there and cry. And then other times I've prayed and asked the Lord to fill me with his Spirit so I could be a witness or preach or something. And have a pitiful, I'm not a good preacher. Y'all just don't know good preaching. That's all. And I thank God you don't stay that way. But man, I preach some pitiful sermons and get through and say, oh man, Lord forgive me. That was so bad. That was just so awful. I didn't do any good. And then people walk out the door weeping and crying and shaking my hands. They pray, you want a sermon, boy to God. I said, what? Well, I didn't even know it.
Amen.
Ron, you go down there to that nursing home and you preach in the power of the Holy Ghost, and those people get under that presence and power of the Holy Ghost, and people who have not had their right mind in a long time, all of a sudden their right mind comes back. And their head clears up. And you don't have to take a hymn book, just start singing. When the God, the Holy Ghost shows up, those old people will sing, they'll know the song. And you get to pray and you'll see them doing this right here.
Yes, sir.
That's the power of God done that, see. The nurse couldn't get him to take a pill a while ago. They couldn't even remember their own name 15 minutes ago, but all of a sudden, you start talking about Jesus and the Holy Spirit comes in and they say, Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing. Amen?
Yes, sir.
Look. Men have made merchandise of the Holy Ghost. Men have made merchandise of the Holy Ghost. If you just go to chapter 5, don't go there, and I'm through. But if you go to chapter 5, you'll see a man named Ananias, and has a wife named Sapphira. Wasn't that on the Amos and Andy show, Sapphira? What's Sapphira? I ruined my own preaching. but listen, you read that next chapter, and it said, but Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? People have made merchandise of the Holy Ghost. And I don't think he's in it. And I don't think he's half of what they claim today. And by the way, I don't think you need a formula to get to him or him get to you.
That's right.
Wait. I just think you need to do like Jesus said, go to your room and wait a little while.
Yes.
And pray and seek God's will, and the Holy Ghost will show up.
Amen.
Go to church seeking God, seek his power, seek his presence, and the Holy Ghost will show up. You might be the only one he touches. But when you leave out of here, you'll make a difference in this lost and dying world.
Amen.
They'll know that you've been with Jesus.
Amen.
That's the evidence of being filled with the Holy Ghost. Power to witness, and they'll know you've been with Jesus. Let's stand up.